We are looking at Psalm 119, verse 15. Just like Apostle Paul, we studied in Philippians 3. You see, David is not satisfied with his growth. We see him growing significantly by the time we have come to verse 15. But in order to grow and in order to persevere, he understands in Christian life, if you don't persevere, there are great dangers, right? If you are not progressing, there are great dangers. You may fall back. You may even prove to be a reprobate. So, in order to, the perseverance is the most important thing, right? I was trying to emphasize, I don't know if I overemphasize, some brother had a doubt last week, Pastor, are you saying a saved person can actually be damned? No, I didn't say that. All I'm saying is a saved person proves his salvation. Now, see, justification, sanctification, all that. In many ways, it's all internal thing, right? No, there is no concrete evidence to validate that. But what can be validated is the perseverance, right? For years and years together, the person is progressing and growing. That is what proves that you are really saved. Isn't that the Lord emphasized in the parable of the sower, right? That's critical. And so, perseverance is very important. And David says, talks about four things in verse 14 and 16. Sorry, 15 and 16. Those are the four means for perseverance. He says, verse 15 and 16, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes and I will not forget your word. While reading Leviticus 3, offering the peace offering, we studied that God is not interested in our externals, right? In our external show, he wants the intestines. He wanted the fat in the intestines. He wanted the kidney. He wanted the liver. Meaning, God is interested in our internals. Here are the four deeply internal acts that you and I have to be engaged if we know anything about true Christianity. Right? If you want to know anything about true perseverance, right? If you focus on them, this will transform our internals and take us closer to God. It will help us to persevere in Christian life without falling back. So kind of four secrets of growing in Christian life. And it's all presented in an orderly way, one related to the another, one leading to another. And the mother of all that is meditation. It all starts with meditation, right? Look at this. When you meditate, that leads to contemplation. And when you contemplate, that leads to delight. And when you delight in something, you will never forget. You see the connection between these four things, So it's the meditation that brings the word to our mind. And then once the word comes to the mind, then it helps you to contemplate that. What is contemplate? David says, I will contemplate. Contemplate means you understand the value and the vastness of that truth. And then when you understand that, it brings delight into your heart. And that delight engraves the truths in your heart in a way you don't forget. Right? See, whatever we learn, it can just come in the way, as it came, it can go off if you don't meditate. And I kind of feel that we should emphasize the importance of meditation, because somebody said no spiritual exercise is more profitable to soul than devout meditation. But it is so sad that we are very strangers to that and we don't regularly practice that. We don't even know how to do that. So last week we focused on how to do it, right? So let's look at the benefits and the dangers of not practicing meditation. So first he says, I will meditate on your precepts, right? And that will lead to contemplation. Notice he says, I will meditate not on your promises, right? Not on the comforting psalms. That's what we generally do. But he says, I will meditate on your precepts. Precepts meaning commands. the prefatory part of God's word. There are no promises in God's word, and there are commands in God's word which we are generally not comfortable with, right? We all want to hear what God has to tell us, what God is going to do. But when God tells us, you have to do something, and that's when we fall back. But David says, you know, I want to meditate. Not only what God will do for me, and it's so comforting. Yeah, that's part of God's word, but my duty, what God commands us. Right? David says, I will focus on your commands. Why? Because he knows the only way anyone will progress, right? You grow in godliness is by obedience. And the blessedness that he spoke about during the beginning of the psalm doesn't come by just hearing good things, comforting things, but you progress when you obey God's word, right? And how do we obey God's word? Do you know the scripture teaches the first step to obedience is meditation? If you have to obey God's word, the first thing you should do is you should meditate on it. There are many verses, I think. Let's look at one verse. For example, Joshua 1:8. God says to Joshua, you shall meditate in it day and night so that, in order that you may observe to do according to all that is written, for then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. And God tells meditation, Joshua, I want you to meditate, and when you meditate it in day and night, it will enable you to obey. In order that, right? It's so very clearly called out there. So how does meditation help us in obedience? And that's what David tells us in the next fruit, okay? Verse 15. Okay, so let's look at two things. The first fruit of meditation. You have to meditate. What happens when we meditate? Right? It says, I will contemplate. It results in contemplation. What does that mean, right? So let's look at the first fruit of meditation today and the dangers of neglecting meditation today. Okay? So those are two things we will focus on. First one, verse 15, I will meditate on your precepts, and that will lead to contemplate your words. Contemplate your words. What does contemplate mean? It means there are versions, translations which says, I will have respect for your ways. I will value your ways, right? Ways is implied for God's word, right? Because there is a certain direction that we want to live. That's our lifestyle, right? Our walk in life. And it's a beautiful word for scripture. Ways. Bible reveals God's way for us, right? What is the lifestyle that God wants us to live so that we progress in life and live a fruitful and useful life and then safely reach heaven? The scripture is the way of God that reveals God's way to us, a creator's will for us, a creator's way for us. Right? And he says, when I meditate on your precepts, I will contemplate your ways. I will contemplate your ways. The word contemplate means I will respect, I will value, I will esteem your ways as the highest priority. When there are every day when I wake up and live my life, when there are 101 ways that I face every day, I will wake up and I will fix my focus on your way, because I see that as the most blessed and most happy way, most important way. I will see your ways with great respect. The word is the reverence, with fear and with high value, and the high fruit that this will bring. What a great investment this is. I will know how valuable your ways are when I will meditate. Right? Why don't we have such value? Why don't we have such esteem for God's word? Right? He says, I will fix my thoughts on your ways. What a, and understand what blessed way it is. I will esteem your way, I will value, and then I will observe the way that you have prescribed for me in the word, right? And I will watch carefully so that I am obedient to that. So God's ways and the fruit. So David says the fruit of regular meditation. will create contemplation to the way of face of God. What does it mean? It will create great value. It will help me to see the great blessedness, great respect, and the great value of walking in God's way. You will see how important is God's word for us every day. Right? How important in every area of my life, in my personal life, in my family life, in my job life, how to walk in God's ways. And how dangerous it is to ignore God's ways, right? It is the fruit of meditation that will create this respect. Can I tell you the reason that you and I don't regard God's ways? Forget about walking in God's ways. We have such low thoughts of God's ways and of low value. We don't even see the importance of regularly reading it, right? Other things take precedence. Entertainment, the mobile, and unnecessarily things, not only important things, but unnecessarily things take precedence over God's word. Why? The scripture says that the word of God is not only not just a luxury, but it's such a basic need as important as our food. Right? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And why is it not important? Why is it not a priority in our life? The psalmist says, because you don't meditate. You don't meditate. We may talk about believing the Bible. We may talk about, you know, Bible is important to others and God's word and all that. But the only way we preach to ourselves, right? The only way we really regard God's word, you know, in the sight of God, is when we meditate. Meditation, like I said, is preaching to ourselves, right? And in order, we already saw, in order to obey, we have to meditate. There's no obedience without meditation. See, hearing, reading, study, it may help us to store the truth in the mind. But it is the heart of the meditation that brings that truth to practical use, practical application. In the particular situation that you and I are placed, right? Because the truth is generic, and the general truth, when we meditate it, we understand how can we apply that in the practical circumstance that we live in. And that will never happen without meditation. Practical obedience, right? That's what, you know, is expressed here. When I meditate on your word and I will contemplate your ways, I will focus on your ways, I will have respect on your ways so that I will walk in your ways, right? When I meditate, the fruit of that is, I will walk in your ways. The fruit of that is obedience to that word. The first fruit of meditation is contemplation, right? You have such high value, such respect for God's word, you will end up obeying it, you will end up walking in that way, okay? So that's the first fruit. Now, let me list out the dangers of neglecting meditation. I don't know, those of you who are been in our church for some time, I've already taught them this. I'm just copying a classical pamphlet that a Puritan wrote. Edmund Calamy is a great Puritan, very famous. And he wrote a pamphlet saying, Dangers of Neglecting Meditation. You can see that in YouTube. There is an online version of that is available. And let me just read out. I think it's very, very sobering and very, very useful. He lists, I think, 11. I'll take it just 10. 10 dangers of neglecting meditation. The first thing that he says, I will show you the lack of practicing this duty is the cause of all sin. Wow. Like if you're falling in sin, he says it is because you don't meditate. If you are struggling with sin, it's because you don't meditate. How so, Edmund? He says, the reason why people harden their hearts in sin and go on obstinately is for the lack of meditation. Right? And he quotes a verse, Jeremiah 8:6, I have paid, God says, I have paid attention, I have listened, they have not spoken rightly, no man repents of his wickedness. Why? Because he never thinks, what have I done? God says, they did not repent because they have not reflected on what they have done enough. They, you know, there is a word, we think, you know, he doesn't think within himself. And the 1 Kings 8:47, if they think within themselves, they will repent. Right? They did not say, I am undone by what I have done. What is this thing that I have done? I have lost my God, my heaven, the God's presence by what I have done. If I don't repent, I am undone forever. No man repents of his wickedness because there is no consideration, there is no meditation deeply of what he has done. Right? Because you consider the evil that is in the sin. You did not dwell. You don't dwell and abide by it. Did you commune with your own heart and seriously think about what an evil and bitter thing it is to sin against God? What a horror it is to sin against God. Have you realized by deep meditation and imbibing the truth what a terrible thing it is to sin against God and what terrible consequences it will have both in this life and in the coming life for you? When a man meditates that, he will never dare to sin. You don't dare to willingly sin against God when you meditate. That's what he says. The reason why men go rashly, heedlessly, obstinately in sin is for the lack of meditation of the evil of sin. First reason why we sin is because we don't meditate on the evil of sin. Second reason, he says, the reason why all sermons we hear do us no more good is lack of divine meditation. For it is with the sermons as it is with the food. It is not having the food on your table that will feed you, but you must eat. You must not only eat, but you must digest it. Else your food will do you no good. So it is with sermons. It is not the hearing of sermons that will do you good, but digesting them by meditation, pondering in your hearts what you hear, and will do good to you. Right? He says one sermon well digested, well meditated is better than 20 sermons without meditation. Now meditation is that which will digest all sermons that you hear. Right, and he goes on and gives some examples. There are some sick men with disease that makes them vomit whatever they eat, right? Some kind of sickness. And the food they never does any good to them. That's the custom of many people who hear the sermon. They go out and they never think about it. It just goes out, right? They have a disease where they kind of vomit up the truth. And there is a disease some men have, all the food that goes into them, right? Either comes. What happens to the food that is going inside you? Right? You know, what happens to the sermon that has preached to you? One, you are vomiting it, and there are other people who have a disease where it just passes through without giving them any nutrient. Right? Never nourishes them. So it is just like the sermon. He says, I am afraid that the sermons you hear go right through you. You hear them, and you hear them, and that's all you do. You never seek to meditate. And, you know, to root them in your heart. And this is the reason why you are so lean in grace, though you are so fully fed with sermons. It is with sermons as it is with the plaster, right? It's a plaster and there is a wound and they put a plaster. As soon as they put a plaster, you remove it. It doesn't give any healing. And it is a sermon, when you heard a sermon, you never ponder, you never meditate, and, you know, so it gives no effect. He says, I am confident that the great reason why so many hunger-starved Christians who are lean in grace, lean in practice, though they hear sermon upon sermon, it may be on the Sabbath day, they will hear 4 or 5 sermons, is because they digest nothing. They never ponder and meditate upon what they hear. And this is what our Savior spoke about in the parable of sower. Right? As soon as the seed is sown on the heart, the devil comes and takes away the heart, the seed, right? And the gardener who sows the seed on the hard part will never see any fruit out of it. Because many of you, the sermons that you hear are like the seed sown in the path. You never cover it by meditation. You never think of it after you've heard it. That's the reason you get no more good by what you hear. Okay? That's what he says. The second danger, sermons will not be helpful. The third danger of neglecting meditation. Reason why the promises of God do no more affect your heart when the saints of God taste no more sweetness in the promises because you do not ponder or meditate upon them. It is with the promises of the gospel, as it is, he uses the word candy, which is a chewing gum for us. Right? If a man has a chewing gum, he just puts it in his mouth, it will never help him. Right? He has to chew it. That's why it's called chewing gum. He has to chew to taste that sweetness. And it is the same with the promises of God. If you want to experience the comfort of the promises of God's word, you will have to put it in your mind and chew it. Regularly chew it, just like a chewing gum, right? You keep chewing on that word again and again and again, and unless you do that, you will never enjoy the comfort. And he uses a term for spices. Unless they are crushed, right? You will not get the smell. You will not get the taste. No more will a promise give you any heavenly spices unless you crush and chew them by meditation. The reason why saints of God walk so uncomfortably all their lives long is because they do not practice the meditation of the promises of God. The fourth danger of not meditating. The reason why the threatenings of God make no more impression upon our hearts is the lack of meditation. There are terrible threatenings against sin in God's word. Alas, there are very few people who are affected by those threatenings. The threatenings of God in scripture are like, like a rattling of a hail. It's like falling on the roof. But it makes a lot of noise, but it doesn't leave any impression on your heart. Right? The pastor may scream and preach with a loud voice, but it doesn't make any impression on your heart. Why? What is the reason? Lack of meditation. We do not take it to our heart. We do not consider those threatenings. They belong to us. God is talking to us. God is pointing out our sins. Right? If a wretched man will meditate them solemnly, it would make his heart ache. Right? Because it doesn't do anything because we don't meditate. And the fifth danger of not meditating. The mercies of God do no more good upon us is because of the lack of meditation. There are many mercies that all of us receive from God every day, hundreds of mercies. Many personal, many family mercies, all these mercies are so great motive to praise and serve God. But why doesn't they push us? God has been continually pouring mercies, but it doesn't affect us anyway in godliness, in service, in praise. Why? What is the reason saints buried all these mercies in forgetfulness and are no more thankful for the mercies? The reason is the lack of meditation. He quotes Isaiah 1:2, "Hear, O heavens, listen, O earth, for God has spoken. I have reared children and brought them up, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its master, the donkey its owner. Israel does not know me. My people do not meditate." The reason my people are like this, they do not meditate. They are ungrateful. The reason why they are not thankful in spite of so many mercies, right? It's because they don't meditate. And they have very slight thoughts about me, and they don't meditate. And I think there is a verse, Psalm 106. It talks about the ungratefulness of Israel, right? And this is the verse he quotes. "We have sinned even as our fathers did. We have done wrong and acted wickedly when our fathers were in Egypt." And this is the verse. "They gave no thought to your miracles. They did not remember your kindness. They have rebelled by the sea." The psalmist says, the reason these people have behaved so horribly because you were blessing them so much. They gave no thought to your mercies. What is the reason you and I live with constant unthankful heart? Because we don't meditate on the mercies of God. The sixth danger, the reason why the afflictions, the trials of the providence does no good to us, it doesn't improve us. Why are we not better by the providence of God? There are sometimes trials that we face. And why doesn't it have a sanctified impact on us? Because of lack of meditation. Ecclesiastes 7:14 says, in the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of adversity, meditate, consider. Times of affliction or times of meditation. Now, what, you know, we must think about it. Why has this come to me? Right? Who is it? You know, yeah, the problem is coming from here, this problem, and but who is the sovereignly controlling this? Who is sending this? Why am I being afflicted? No, what should I do so that this affliction, this trial, this trouble leads to sanctification? What is God, what is the meaning of God's rod in this, right? And, you know, he says, how we may be taught spiritual things by the trials we face. Because we don't meditate, we don't think about it, right? We have very slight thoughts about our afflictions, and so that we get very little good from those. Very little good from those. We never consider them, and it never improves us. Seventh danger. Why does the providence of God take no more impression upon us? It's because of lack of meditation. The providence of God is very mysterious. Right? In the government of God, he does, but everything God does, he does with a purpose. And God, especially in his children's life, he's doing something, and he wants many a times to understand what he's doing. And there are many rare lessons to be learned from the providence of God. That's what he says. And what is the reason providence of God, you know, does no good to us? And it never makes us better because we don't study the meaning of the providence of God. Right? And the reason why we get no more good by the providence because we don't meditate. And the eighth danger that he says, what is the reason that the saints of God are so distrustful of the God's providence when they are ready presently to think and to say they are undone? Basically, why are we getting disgraced? Right? Why are we getting so worried? He says it's lack of providence. And didn't Christ say, he points out Christ's words. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear. Life is more than the food, and the body more than riches. And what does Christ say? Consider. The word consider is nothing but meditate, right? Consider the ravens. Consider the birds. They do not sow, reap. They have no storeroom or barn. Yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than birds. Have you meditated? The reason that your heart gets filled with all kinds of worries. You're worried and worked up all because you don't meditate. Right? And Christ again says, consider the lily. So if you meditate on the nature, you study the love of God even revealed in the nature, right? Then you will trust Him under any sad providence. Reasons why saints are full of unbelief and low condition is because of lack of meditation. They do not consider. They do not consider. And the ninth danger, the reason why the professors of religion are so censorious, meaning, you know, they're always finding fault on the other person. Right? And they don't find any fault within themselves. They judge every man and examine every man, but not themselves. It's because of lack of meditation. Right, he quotes Matthew 7, verse 1 to 5, do not judge, you will be judged. For the way you judge others, you will be judged with the same measure that will be used to you. Why do you look at the speck on your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? The reason that we don't realize our own faults, we don't reflect on how horrible we are. Right? Why do we become impatient with people? I've always seen people who know very less of themselves, right? If you see the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek. Why does man become poor in spirit? Blessed are those who mourn. Why does he mourn? Because he mourns knowing his own sinfulness, and then comes meekness, right? Because when you know how horrible you are, or what a horrible sinful heart you have, that helps you to be meek with others, forgiving with others, right? And he says, we are so irritable, we are so angry with others because we don't know our hearts. We don't do self-reflection. Okay, the tenth reason. The tenth danger of not meditating. The reason why professors of religion offer sacrifices of fools to God when they come to worship. What does he mean? Because Ecclesiastes 5:1-2 says, you know, when you come to God, don't come in a rush. Right? When you go, don't come in a rush and blather something and offer the sacrifice of food. Right? Don't be quick in your mouth and, you know, hasty in your heart so that somehow you want to finish up the worship service and leave. That's a sacrifice of a fool. Why do we do? We offer such a kind of, because you come to the presence of God, you come to the house of God to be blessed by God, and here we come, and this is the only expression of sacrifice. The Old Testament guys had to offer so many things. In the New Testament, we just have to come and offer our praise. And we come, and even that one, if you do it hurriedly and without any preparation, that's called the sacrifice of the fools. Why do we do that? It's because we don't meditate. Right? People rush to the ordinances without preparation. Rush to sermons, rush to prayer meeting, rush to holy duties, and they offer sacrifice of food. So, I think let me pause here. These are the 10 things, I think very, very practical things that Edmund lists for us, the dangers of neglecting. So we've seen the first fruit of meditation. It leads to contemplation, which basically leads to the obedience of God's word. When you know, contemplate and see the outcome of following a particular way that God has told us, right? And it leads to obedience, right? And that, next week we will see, it leads to great delight, okay? The next 16 verse will talk about it. And as a practical application, let me leave you with one thought. How do we start meditation, right? Now think about David. He's so skilled in this meditation, even after so much of progress in this art, he still has to make a determination, right? He says, I will, remember the word, I will, it's a word of resolution and a determination. Because he knows it is a difficult work. Just like, you know, gym. We always say, I will go to gym and reduce 10 kgs of weight, and I will, you know. But, you know, we won't go. Why? Because we don't realize the fruit of that, right? When we see ourselves with fit and all, you know, with a good shape and all that, when we keep encouraging our heart with all those good things and the benefits that come out of it, then we are encouraged, motivated to do. That's what David is doing. The same way, he's saying, no, we should not become tired, we should not be discouraged. He looks at the results of meditation. When I will meditate, and when I will meditate, I will contemplate, and when I will contemplate and obey you, I will get great delight, and I will, there will be a permanent memory of your words. So he sees all the benefits, and so he encourages himself to meditation. I will, right? The first step for us to begin this heart is to make a determination, make a resolution. Right? Because it doesn't come without determination. It's hard for us to take our thoughts away from whatever we are regularly engaged, right? And with a distracted mind, and apply even to think something seriously so difficult for us, because our minds are so distracted, and even harder for us to take a truth when all the freshness of the newness of the truth is all gone. I've learned this. I know this. But I will take that truth that I already know. I will recall it. And I will view it. I will review it. I will think and think. And okay, I will dive and ponder it. Right? You can probably do it for a few seconds. But it's hardest thing to continue to abide in that. Continue to abide in that again and again. Review it till you begin to taste that truth. Till you begin to feel it in your experience. It's difficult exercise, I'll tell you, right? With the times that we live in. And we are ready to get discouraged, and but we need that motivation. I know it is hard, but I know the fruits, just like David, right? I will make a resolution, right? I will, it may be very difficult because we never practice it. So let's begin in a small way, right? You know, not a deep thing, but now, maybe when you have some time, you know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, when you are alone, and take up a truth and keep rolling, just when you're sleeping, just throw your mobile away for that. I think the greatest hindrance for meditation is mobile phone. Right? Just throw it away for some time. We see so many things. We see, spend so much of time in the mobile. What joy do we get? And after you keep the mobile, everything goes off. Maybe you get entertained for some time. But throw it away for some time and sit quietly and bring up the truth and try to do it. So take the baby steps first. Can I encourage you? And however it may be difficult, right? Always practice, practice, practice makes it easy. The more we meditate, the more it will become easy for us. And we will learn that art. May God help us to learn this. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank you this evening. The forgotten heart of meditation, oh Lord, you are helping us to remind that through the great man who is after your own heart. And indeed, your word teaches us ways that are so foreign to the times that we are living in, O Lord. Oh, it is so difficult in these days to, you know, we think it is a waste of time and, you know, we could probably do something else. But, O Lord, you teach us important things. Teach us things that truly matter, O Lord. One thing that is needful. Oh, help us to learn this heart, O Lord. Give us the grace, O Lord. Even as we learn this heart and just like David, we will progress in contemplating and obeying your truth and experience that divine delight, delight that he spoke about, that he has a joy even the greatest rich man in this world doesn't have, that comes from meditation of your word, Lord. And when we meditate it and Holy Spirit works in our minds to illuminate that and appropriate that and enjoy that truth, Lord. Oh, bless us in that process. Help us to determine like David, I will meditate so that I contemplate your ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.